Oh, me.
If you will tonight, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, is a book that I think we all need to read it. We should read it at least, I think, at least once a month, because it's a whole lot here in this one, in the book of Acts. It's talking about the church. It's talking about the disciples. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's talking about his return back to heaven. And it has a whole lot here for us today to just look at. And we see where God has the instructions for the apostles. Well, for 40 days since the Lord's been risen, and other things retaining to the kingdom of God, and according to his customs, and so much more. This book right here is full of prophecy. It's full of the past. It's full of the present. And it is full of the future of the Christians. And the Christians now, anytime I mention the word church, I am speaking about the individual Christian, because that's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He's established the Christian faith and so many other things that Christians have to do. But here in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, it says this: "These all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, and this mother of Jesus, and the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." See, that's the this right here. I think this and a few other chapters and verses in the Bible that he describes the two individuals, the individuals of the lady, the mother, and he reveals the fact of the brethren, because he does not say, and I know in the Bible that we hear a whole lot about when he's speaking and when the others are speaking, they're speaking about, and they say brother so-and-so or brother this, and you know, but always remember anytime the Lord speaks about a brother, he is speaking about individuals. Individuals. And I've had people to ask me, says, "Well, why don't he relate the ladies in the that are Christians? Why don't he relate them as Eve and like Martha and all of them?" I said, "Well, I don't know. That's God. You have to take it up with God." I said, "I don't know." I said, "But I do know one thing. That God knows one thing and one thing only. One thing he does, he saves people. Individuals. Individuality. He remembers each and every one of us and what we must do for him. Now we see right here where the prayer chain has started. And we see right here where not only that, but we'll get into chapter 2. You can go into chapter 2 and you see where it's talking about Pentecost. And we'll go into chapter, I think it's the latter part of chapter 2, I believe, or chapter 3 is speaking about the church. Chapter 2 and verses 42 down through 47, speaking about the church. And they continued steadfastly in the apostle doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man has need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and in breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness, with humility, with compassion. Did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. He added to the church. He added to the family of God. He added to the family that's there in heaven. He added to them by salvation. And with that in mind, he added people, he added souls to the church and to heaven and his family. How did he do that? How was people added to the church? First of all, it was prayer. They had to pray, and they prayed down the power of God. And they prayed, and they stayed constantly in prayer. And when they did, when they prayed for something, they continued praying for it. But they didn't want to worry about it like it was before they first prayed for it. They had something that the church has lost today. Where Christians has lost today in their life. They have lost the power of prayer. And the only way you can lose the power of prayer, don't pray. We don't pray as much as we should. We see to ask, oh, and Daniel, he prayed 3 times a day. But it doesn't tell you how long he prayed when he prayed 3 times a day. But I bet you won 15 minutes. Because the 15 minutes, you ain't looking for 45 minutes all day. No, Daniel was much of prayer. And he prayed. And not only did he pray, but we'll see over in Luke chapter 8, I think it's 18 or 22, one or the other. That not only did the Lord Jesus ask us to pray daily, but he prayed also. Other words, what he's saying right there was, I'm not going to ask you to do anything that I have not done or I would not do. I will do it if I've never done it. I will do it in the name of Jehovah. I wouldn't do it in his name. So then you can be able to do it. Well, I can teach you how to do it. See, we need the teaching of the Lord Jesus today more than ever before. We need the teaching of the Holy Spirit more today than we ever have before. Why? Because individuals are getting away from the church. They're getting away from the assembling of souls getting together and talking about what they should be in love with. They should not come into church and talking about the Sunday race. Who's going to be winning the Sunday race? They should not be coming in talking about, well, this week I'm going to be on vacation. I'm going to the beach, or I'm going to Bugs Island or somewhere like that, and I'm going fishing. We should not discuss any of that in church. The only thing that we need to discuss within these four walls right here is what God has done for us all week long. Because we have lived with the filth of this world. We have lived with people that they say that they're saved, but yet they turn right around and they use God's name in vain. They are mockery of God. But you can't do that. A Christian would not do that. Well, you say, well, what about a new Christian? A new convert just got saved. And before they got saved, everything they said, everything come out of their mouth, that was a vulgar word come out before what they said. You know, I believe this. I believe the Lord will clean your mouth up. And the Lord will give you something else to say. Now, as far as the other things I hear, like you stop at the mini mart or the grocery store, and you used to be drinking maybe a six pack of beer a week, have one each day. It is, you've been saved only a couple of weeks, or maybe 1 week, or a couple, 2 or 3 days, something like that. And he you're 35 years old. You served the devil for 35 years. What you've done then, you've done naturally, because of who you were serving. It took 35 years to put a whole lot of that filth and that junk in our mind and in our heart to do the things that we should not do, to do the thing that belittles somebody. We should not do that. But yet, you take an individual, the same individual's been lost for 35 years, and then they finally get saved and everything. And we think, because we're Christian, we know better. We think that
they should not even do any of that stuff anymore. And right, they're not. But it's a learning process. I didn't know anything about how to live the Christian life. Did you?
I didn't. One thing about it, I learned. And how did I learn? By prayer and supplication. In reading God's word and allowing God's word to stick to my heart. I'm an individual that has never been able to remember stuff and remember it verbatim and all the words put in the right order and all that. I never have been that individual. Like some preachers can get up here and they can quote verses. Like Brother Paul, he gets up here and he opens his Bible and he'll read when he starts preaching. But then after that, every verse, everything that he reads from the scripture, it doesn't come from the book. It comes from his heart. Because he knows what his heart is saying. Why? Because he allowed his heart to be penetrated with the word of God. I wish the Lord that he would give me some of that. Some of that know-how. But I come to find out long years ago, I'm not supposed to worry about that. You know what? A whole lot of people worry about things that they don't have control over. Yes, I worried about that a whole lot. I worried about that a whole lot after I got saved. And then after God called me to preach, I worried about that I could not remember. At that time, I couldn't even say 3:16, John 3:16. I couldn't remember all the words there. And I look at it this way, if you cannot remember all the words that are in it and where the words go to, you're better off reading it from God's word. Because you can take one word and you can change that word around, or you can place that one word somewhere else in that verse, and it means totally different. It brings about everything in a different way. And we need not to do that, but I tried. I tried my very best. I mean, when I took the home study course there at Liberty, and when I was taking a hit at home, it's talking about prayer. And he had a course there. It was a selective course, something I could take, something you could take extra to get extra credits. And it was talking about prayer. And it was talking about memorizing what you read. Oh man, I went through the book. Yeah. I tried learning it. But when it come right down to it, when I took it and I mailed that course in for that particular subject, I just wrote down. Donna says, I can't do it. I said, I cannot memorize. And I says, why do I need to agonize over memorizing scripture? It would be different if I was going to overseas to Russia or somewhere like that, and then they come up and they take my Bible away from me, and they take it away from me, and then I'm supposed to have something hidden in my heart. That's what Psalms 119 verse 11 says. Thy word I have hidden in your heart that you might not sin against me. It doesn't say that you need to memorize 10 verses. It don't say that you need to memorize 20 verses. It says hide the word of God in your heart. And you can hide it there. We can hide it there. And we can hide it in a way that where the Lord will bring it back to our remembrance. We see that over in John chapter 14 and verse 26. The latter part of that verse, where the first part of it talks about the Holy Spirit as being our teacher and our guide. But then the latter part of that same verse, it teaches us and it tells us, don't worry about what you don't understand today. Because when you get to the point that you need to understand that, and you need to understand what you pray for, you need to leave that in the Lord's hand. Leave that in God's hand. And then, when the time comes, He will give you every word, every vowel, every period, every comma, every colon that there is in that verse. And you don't have to worry about missing a word or two or pronouncing a word or two wrong. Why? Because then you have the Holy Ghost that will teach you. Why would the Holy Spirit come up and save somebody? I believe, now, let me explain that as far as I look at it. I believe, and can't nobody contradict me on it, I know what the verse says, and I know what the Bible says, but you know, you have the three in one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. Right? Alrighty. Which one of the three come on the scene and spoke to your heart for the first time? It wasn't God. It wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the Holy Spirit. See, God always takes the least thing to get His word across. And I'm not saying that speaking about the Holy Spirit being something that's not there, being the least among them, because the Holy Spirit is just as important as God the Father and God the Son. And the Holy Spirit is the one came to me that afternoon and that day when I went to church at Brush Arbor. When that missionary was preaching. I didn't know that missionary. Matter of fact, I asked my wife, I said, I'll tell you one thing. The pastor, he sure is tall. And the pastor went in with him and had a missionary. And I'll never forget his last name as long as I live. Rod Rodriguez. Missionary Rodriguez. And he looked like he was about 7 foot tall. But he won't. He was taller than I was. And he was serving God, so yes, he was as tall as high as I could see. See, he delivered the Holy Spirit that day to me. And he asked the Holy Spirit to do the work. And the Holy Spirit done the work because God wanted him to do the work. And also, he wanted, the Lord Jesus wanted the Holy Spirit to do the work. Because, see, the Holy Spirit was the least among the three as far as in number. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. You've got to have all three to make up one. But also, you've got to remember, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and when the Holy Spirit speaks to a sinner, the Holy Spirit is speaking to that individual because the Holy Spirit wants that individual to do something. And that doing something, he wants the Holy Spirit wants that individual to say, yes, I give up. You use me, you take me, and you save my soul. Now, I believe that. I believe once the Holy Spirit gets to your heart, and then he tells you about the Lord Jesus, and he sends you over to him, I believe when he introduces me to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm already saved. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is not going to continue to be on somebody unless God gets something from it. We need to be a people of prayer. We need to have people that don't mind praying. We need to have individuals inside of the worship center, inside of a building, praying. We need them to get in touch with somebody that we want to give the Lord to them. We want to introduce the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior, to that individual. And that's giving of yourself. I have to give something of myself so that individual could be saved. We need to be a people, individual people. We need to be united. We need to be in one accord, and that's not speaking of a hundred accord, because they break down. And in a way, we break down too, if we allow the world to come in. We need to be united, one accord, separated from the world. We don't need to be of the world. And we don't need to be like the world. We need to be everything opposite from what the world has to offer. And to you and to me that are Christians, we should all be able to say that the world itself does not offer me one thing. One thing, it doesn't offer me nothing. We need to go out here and tell people, tell individuals how we got saved, how the Holy Spirit come on my life, and how he spoke to me. And I need not to stop with that one. The Lord laid that on my heart to go and to speak to that individual about salvation. See, God give me one individual to go to that day. And to try to win him to the Lord. and introduce him to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God the Father, God the Holy Ghost. But yet, we should leave that individual and we should leave that home, or we should leave that place of business and where we're speaking to the individual. We need to leave and we need to say, Lord, I've done what you asked me to do. Now, Lord, you do the rest. You do the rest, and I should not have to worry about them anymore. Because see, I think that's where the problem comes in with us a whole lot of times. We start worrying about it. And we can't get it off our mind. We can't get it off our heart because they didn't accept the Lord when I went and I talked to them and when I witnessed to them, when I told them about the love of God. No. I ain't supposed to lose no sleep over it at all. Matter of fact, when the nightfall comes and when I lay my head down, I lay my head down at night. And what does that indicate? That I'm resting. That my soul is getting to rest. That I'm not having to worry about things. And then the next morning, get up. And the Lord will speak to you. Say, I got somewhere I want you to go today. I got somebody I need you to go talk to. I ain't supposed to ask who it is. I'm supposed to say, okay, Lord. You take me where they are. You give me the words to say to them. You're not going there to win their soul. What you're doing, you're going to go there today to teach them what they need to do. You need to teach them the Christian life. And when a brother falls, or when a sister falls, and gets away from God, and gets away from the church. Majority of the time we'll turn around and we'll say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Hey, I didn't do nothing for them to turn away from the church. I didn't do nothing to them to turn away from you in your prayer, in the prayer life. They don't pray no more. They don't read my word no more. I need for you to go and talk to them. And the Bible plainly teaches us that we must go and talk to them. We must not even worry about in what we're going to say to them that it may hurt their feelings. Because if it's done right in the Christian way, and if they say that they're saved and they know that they're saved, then they will not get upset with you. They will not get upset with you. That's just like individuals today. They'll come to church and they'll see somebody in a church that at one time they couldn't get along with. They couldn't speak to one another. And you see, you can notice it in the church that they didn't want, will not go from one side of the church to the other and shaking of hands and talking to the people. That's not God. That's not being a Christian. We need to be the Christian that loves people at all costs. What am I talking about at all costs? That individual that comes up to me and slaps me on the face on this side, on the right side. What am I supposed to do with that? And am I supposed to say, well, okay, now, you gonna get it now? And ball up your fist and go punch him? No. What did the Word of God say? The Word of God says, well, turn to the other side of the Jesus. Just because he come up and cursed me out, and just because he come up and he first hit me and all of that and everything, I'm not supposed to fight him. I'm not supposed to badmouth him. I'm not supposed to do nothing else but love him. Commanded of God. Nothing but love him. But yet, the first thing that we as individuals and we as Christians, what we want to do, we want to fight. We want to say, hey, you didn't have no business saying that about my family. You didn't have no business saying that because it's not true. You're out here telling lies and all that. We're not supposed to discuss all of that. The only thing we're supposed to tell them, I love you anyhow. And if they can understand us in loving them, then they could understand what we're trying to do. We're trying to help them. We're trying to better their life. Because it's a whole lot of people out here. A whole lot of individuals out here. It's a whole lot of young people out here. It's a whole lot of mothers and fathers out here. A whole lot of grandmothers out here. And uncles and aunts and all of them. It's a whole lot of individuals out here that is hurting. And they can't pinpoint it. And they said they don't understand why it always happened to them. But yet, then over there across the road, they get anything they want. But let me ask you something. I don't have everything I want. I have everything I need, and that's Jesus. He provides for me and my household. And he provides for this church. He provides for you individually. And if the Lord did not provide for you and me, couldn't provide for this local church. Why? Because he sees our heart. He sees the intent that is on our heart. He sees the intent that's on my heart. That I want everything, and where what I want everything done according to God's word. I want it done in his way, and his way only. Not my way, not your way, but his way. But people like here today, they say, well, it'll never work. Donnie, you ain't gonna stay, you won't stay in that big done at faith that long. They don't have that many people down there, and you know they can't afford to pay you. They can't afford to give you any money down there. Did I ask for anything, Bill? Did I ask for any money? No, and I'm not going to. And I appreciate y'all. You don't know how much I do appreciate y'all. I love each and every one of you, and I'll do anything I can for you. And I don't want you to hurt any. And we should not hurt. We should always remember that the building up of the Lord. The Lord Himself builds character in an individual's life. He builds up our everyday love for Him and love for the individual that hates us. Yeah, I'm gonna reveal something to you right now that maybe you don't know. Did you know that there's individuals like that that despises you, that hates you? Yes, they are. But if we can get something across to them and allow them to learn what we are trying to do for them, we are trying to make their life easier. We're trying to get them to realize that being a Christian is where happiness comes from. And I mean, hallelujah, I've had people tell me, say, well, you being a Christian and everything, you can't do this, you can't do that, and you're never happy and nothing like that. That's what I tell you what. I'm a whole lot happier now than I was when I was a sinner. I'm a whole lot happier now than when I was up at Skylark and just taking a can of beer and just slurking it, drinking it. I'm happier today than I ever have before. My marriage, it's not a, I'll tell you what now, it's not a marriage of, that we don't ever have an argument. Some people say, well, you don't have to ever have an argument? Mm-mm. No. When you have an argument, it's when you don't love the individual. But if you have an argument with somebody and you turn right around and tell them, say, well, I'm sorry, I love you. Where'd that come from? Did that come from my mind? No. Did it come from my heart? Probably not. But I tell you where it come from. It come from God. And telling me, say, Donnie, you was wrong. And you need to admit it. You're wrong. I tell you what. You know, Brother Bill called me about, I don't know, a couple months ago. And said on the website, a lady wanted to get in touch with me, the pastor of the church. And wanted me to call her. Because she wanted to get, they were, her and her fiance, or I don't know, wanted to get married. But the way she had it, she says, yeah, we want to get married, but we've got to get married now. We can't wait a month. It had a time limit on it. Like, within that time limit, and I could probably guess on what the reason was for, but I ain't gonna go there. And when Bill was telling me everything was on there, and everything, I just never did, I never could get any peace about it, calling her. And I didn't call her. I didn't call, it's not because I didn't want to. Yes, I'd have loved to call her and talk to her. But you cannot get three meetings with an individual in 2 weeks. Because you don't have them Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. Because you don't, that's not time enough for them to process what you've said to them. So I said, well, you know, no, I don't think I can do it. Did you call her back? Nope. So did I. I just won't be able to live and call her back. It ain't no telling how many. It ain't no telling how many different preachers in town or in the country or in the state of Virginia or in the courthouse that she hadn't probably called. You can't. And I'm leery. I'm really leery of black marrying people today. Because they're not going to tell you the truth. And you can have 100 people out here. All of them wants to get married. You may have 5 or 6. And that's putting too much on them. You may have 5 or 6. But they've never lived together. They've never had sex or anything like that. They never had none of that. Today, they want what they can get. We don't need that in the church. Now, if they want to, if they come to church, we don't know them or nothing like that, and they're living in sin or have been living in sin, I ain't got to go to them and ask them. I don't have to go to them and ask them. I don't even have to mention marriage at all. See, the Holy Spirit, that's his job. That's what he does. He will approach the individual. And he will approach the individual in a way that they understand better than I could ever explain it. Now, Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this evening. Thank you, Father, for the church. Thank you for the individual Christian, Lord. And I do pray for Faith Baptist Church. Lord, I'm still convinced that, Father, you just did not place me here just to fill the vacancy that was here. I believe, Father, that you still want to have something done. You still want to do something here at Faith Baptist Church. You want to see souls saved. You want to see lives changed. And you want to see the dear brother and sister that will go out here and don't mind, and they're never ashamed of telling somebody else about you. So So Father, we ask you now that whatever miracle that you have in mind for Faith Baptist Church, it's not nothing that I have done or nothing that the people has done. But Father, we have left everything in your hands. And Father, we're just asking you to do the impossible that we see impossible. But to you, it's possible. Father, we want to thank you. Go with us this week to get in touch with somebody. Tell them about Jesus. That's the first thing we must do. We must tell them about Jesus. Then after we tell them about Jesus, then we can invite them to the services. But Father, hopefully, in the first part of that, when we tell them about Jesus, they say, thank you. For telling me about Jesus. I've been waiting for somebody to call me. And you ask them, would they like to get saved? They say, yeah. And you go and you explain it to them. Then they accept the Lord as a Savior. If you do that, Father, I believe that yes, they will even come to the church. It may not be the church that maybe you want them to join and have fellowship with. But Father, yes, you will allow them to get into church. While, Father, where they can receive the gospel, your gospel, that is not hidden any longer, that we can speak about it. Father, go with us. Lead, guide, and direct each one of us this week. And bring us back to the next appointed time. And we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Because it's in your sweet Son's name. That we come. Amen and amen.